Bengals Nation, happy second week of March. Welcome to the bull market. Have we welcomed them enough times? You've said that too many times. I don't think we can say that too many times, David, because people are excited about this. It needs to be celebrated every single week of the bull market because we got to enjoy these times, David. We don't know how long you're going to burn out
in a bull market.
Speaking of which, did you know, David, Bitcoin hit all-time highs this week for like 3 seconds?
It glanced it at best. It's a glancing blow.
Are we going to have the debate about this right now?
Is still preserved. We have not crossed all-time highs.
Okay, so I thought that we did cross all-time highs. Yeah. Because I actually don't know what all-time highs are for Bitcoin. 69,000 something. I recall that much. And then everyone was saying we hit all-time highs.
Well, no, because all of the Twitter influencers want to have the banger tweet that goes off and gets 10,000
likes. Well, that's why I did it.
Yeah, but like we touched all-time highs, maybe. Like
on
Kraken, it was 69,100 and something. In my mind, all-time highs is 69,420. But really, we're not going to like confidently be above all-time highs until like probably 70,000.
I wasn't saying we were confidently. I'm asking the question whether it technically counts. Because if it's above the last all-time high, then it technically counts. And I will
concede. It technically counts, but it's cringe to celebrate.
No, it's not. If it technically counts, then we did.
No.
Then we did.
No. We are not in spirit. We have not crossed all-time highs.
But you're saying it doesn't technically count. You're saying it wasn't actually technically hit. And I'm trying to find the truth of that. On like what chart... What's the canonical all-time high number?
There is none. Well, because like Kraken has their number, Coinbase has its number, like Binance has its number.
Okay. And the David Hoffman definition.
And the David Hoffman number, which is the canonical version.
You pick the highest one. You pick the highest one.
69,420.
Okay.
Which we did not touch.
So according to David, we did not hit all-time high.
Yeah.
According to Ryan, we did. For 3 seconds.
People in my Twitter DMs all agree that it's a mulligan,
David,
it's a do-over, we did not cross all-time highs.
That's your Twitter followers. Of course they agree with you. That's like
my Twitter followers
social media
are the best followers.
Well, we'll let the Bankless Nation decide whether we hit all-time high or
not. Those
are
my Twitter followers.
But honestly, I'm fine waiting for another week, another 2 weeks, because I can start this episode again by saying welcome to the bull market.
At the beginning of last week,
the crowd goes wild.
I think it was actually the day before this happened. It was like Wednesday or something. And I think it was like you, Josh, a few other people were all in a Bankless call together and we're like, oh yeah, we're hitting all-time highs tomorrow. And I'm like, we're not hitting we are at $67,500. And you guys were like, yeah, we're hitting all-time highs tomorrow. I'm like, guys, it's going to be next week. Like, it's not happening this week.
So wait, but to me, that's more evidence that we actually hit all-time high, and you're in denial, maybe, David, because you've already called it. You've already implanted this in your psychology that we're not hitting it to next week. Maybe we actually hit it.
We did not hit it.
Or is this part of your plan to do the quiet
to
quiet
calm people down? Thing? Yeah. It would be better for the industry if we were hitting it later.
All right. Well, that's one thing we're going to talk about a little bit, this all-time high question. What else, David? We got some records that broke as well. The spot ETFs broke another record. We talk about that. And also, I want to talk to you about the Ethereum ETF, because some people are saying that we are a little too excited about the ETF, and we should cool our jets a little bit. What else we got?
Wormhole announcing their airdrop. Who is eligible? We got a summary for all the details, but we're going to need more details out of Wormhole in the future. We'll talk about that. EigenLayer surpassed $10 billion. Yowzer. And the SEC is going after Shapeshift. Commissioner Hester Peirce drops a screenplay. And eight United States State Attorney Generals call the SEC a regulatory power grab. So the SEC drama does not continue. Before we get into all of those details, we got a message for you from our friends and sponsors over at Cartesi. If you don't know what Cartesi is, it is a modular execution layer that runs Linux. So if you want a chain, an app chain, that runs Linux as the virtual machine, an alt virtual machine, Cartesi is a place for you. It's a place where you can build dApps that leverage all the traditional open source library and tooling that exists in the Linux space. Linux, maybe you've heard of it. And so there is a $1 million ecosystem grant from Cartesi that is now live. And they want to give you some of that money. They want to give you money. So you can apply for that money with a link in the show notes, bankless.cc/Cartesi, Cartesi.
the world runs on Linux. Why shouldn't our blockchains, mm-hmm. I guess, David? Mm-hmm. Huh? That's where we're going. Let's talk about Bitcoin price right now. Now, I will agree with you. We are not at all-time high at the time
currently
recording. What are we at on the week, David?
Okay, we started the week at $62,300, up $5,400 on the week, 8.5%. We are currently at $67,800.
Can we talk about this big red candle down?
Yeah. Like, how we got $1 billion of people getting liquidated.
Okay, so what is up with this? By the way, we're looking at these glorious prices mm-hmm. on the Kraken Pro charts, which is a fantastic place to go buy your crypto assets this cycle. But here's where some people called the all-time high right here. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. then just after that, we just dumped. Tanked.
Like it was the
double-digit.
Such obvious price action.
Double-digit candle down. What happened? Why did that happen?
Because a bunch of degens levered up. And too many of them all joined on the same trade. And then it was too frothy, too quickly. And then everyone got liquidated. And then the crazy thing is we spiked right back up. So we went right back up to like $68,000. I mean, leverage is a rite of passage. Leverage is a part of the bull market. So like when I say degens, I don't mean it like in a derogatory fashion. It's just... Oh. I only mean it when there's too many of them. Like, we can't all be degens.
You only mean it when it becomes a problem.
Yeah, exactly. We all need to take healthy turns being degens.
Slow down. Yeah, don't celebrate your all-time highs before they happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Don't take leverage right before all-time highs. Like, come on.
It was funny.
The fact that we spiked right back up is like one of the most bullish like price actions I've ever seen. Like, a bunch of degens gets liquidated, and then we just resume. Like right where
resume
we left
ascent
off.
Yeah uh-huh. You know, some people were actually panicking about this, and you know, like I saw some tweets joking, oh, bear market's over, pack it in, boys, that was it, right. We hit all-time high. That's it. See you in 2028. This is DC Investor echoing your sentiments. Look, I'm no expert, but when something suddenly retraces 15% and then sets a new cycle high the next day, it's pretty effing bullish.
New cycle high, these are the words that you need to be using right. Okay. DC said it well.
All right. Good job, DC. Also, David, did you know this? All right. So here's something I will say that I am actually knowledgeable about with respect to Bitcoin all-time high is the real all-time high, at least in fiat terms, inflation adjusted, is actually not 69,000 right. Bitcoin, 69,420 or whatever your number is. The real time all-time high when you adjust for inflation is actually 77K Bitcoin.
Okay,
because had a whole lot of inflation right. since the last time Bitcoin hit all-time high. So I think what that means is we can celebrate it twice.
Dude, your all-time high metrics are weird. Okay, so it's basically one November of 2021, Bitcoin was worth $77,000 in today's dollars.
Yeah, look at the buying power.
Right, okay. So we have
I got
fiat
the numbers
all-time
to back
highs
it up.
At 69,420, and then we have real purchasing power all-time highs at $77,000. Yeah. One of the crazy things that happened, I put out a tweet that was the last 2 weeks are going to go down in like one of the most bullish 2 weeks in crypto history, simply straight due to price action. The February 2024 Bitcoin candle was the largest monthly candle in Bitcoin history, going
really?
From like $4,250
this
up
is
to
it, right?
$61,000. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Let's just
that's,
take a
that's
look
just,
at that.
That's impressive. And the thing is like, that's now the floor. Like we're going to have, if, you know, bull markets repeat themselves, which they do, that we're going to have at least a few more of those.
A few more best, like Februarys or best months, you mean?
A few more biggest candles ever.
Yeah.
And so like, how big is that candle? 42 to 61. So almost a $20,000 candle. We get, I'm calling it, we get at least two more $20,000 candles in Bitcoin this cycle.
So just to put some numbers on the uncharted territory that we're in right now, even if we're not at all-time high, we're real close.
We are not crossing all-time highs. We are in price discovery.
Yes. Bitcoin has only spent 5 days above the current price. And the current price at the time of this tweet was about 65K. Mm-hmm. So this is pretty close to uncharted territory, price discovery phase.
We're in uncharted territory, I would say.
Yeah. David, the reason for this, it feels like, is once again the Bitcoin ETFs, because we got another record on this. What are we looking at?
Bitcoin ETFs have registered the largest net inflows since day one. So new record. So that is the new all-time high, Ryan. You can celebrate that all-time high. I will allow you, I will allow you that one.
You're so generous.
$648 million in one day. That's net inflows. $648 million came into the Bitcoin ETFs.
All of them, that, right? We're not just all, talking about one.
Collectively, all of them. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So like that's just like, we're just, Bitcoin has $650 million of daily buying pressure. I mean, that's an all-time high record, but like we keep breaking all-time highs in daily buying pressure from TradFi.
Their all-time high?
Tell me.
BlackRock ETF just hit $10 billion, and that
is that's up only. Has it ever lost any Bitcoin? It's up only.
I think it's been all-time high just about every week we've recorded. Actually, that's a impressive amount of Bitcoin and value. Eric Balchunas says that this is a milestone. He said the 10 Bitcoin ETFs did $10 billion in volume. Now he's talking about volume, smashing previous record set last Wednesday. Volatility and volume go hand in hand with ETFs, so not totally surprised. That said, these are bananas numbers for ETFs under 2 months old. Under 2 months old. It's a newborn. Yeah. ETFs are new, brand new.
So we can talk about another flippening. Usually we talk about ETH flippening Bitcoin, but that's not looking like it's happening anytime soon, not with this kind of price action. But the thing that is probably going to happen, hopefully, if you're a crypto bull, gold being flipped by Bitcoin, the gold ETF, in the lead with $92 billion in the gold ETFs. Where are we at with the Bitcoin ETFs and the total AUM in Bitcoin
it's
ETFs?
About half that, David.
Half
it's
that?
About, yep, half that. So we're at like 40, 45.
That's
getting close
nuts.
To 50.
That is,
and all we
nuts.
Have to do is double the price of Bitcoin, and then we're above gold.
Dude, gold is getting flipped so soon. Not only are we going to double the amount of Bitcoins in the ETFs over this coming year, Bitcoin price is also doubling.
Yeah, exactly. It seems like a lot gold. If you're like, oh, we have to get double the amount of buying. No, you don't. You just have to get a little bit more, buying, and then price just needs to go up, and it has been going up.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it though, who do you know anyone your age? I mean, maybe this is an unfair question because your social network, I'm sure, is so plugged into crypto. But
I have zero.
So maybe this is
friends.
A terrible data point. But just I can't imagine being like a millennial,
the F
Gen
is
Z
buying gold,
and you're just like, you know what I'm bullish on? You
gold.
Know, a story. Just gold. Give me
the
all that.
The only reason why you would be a bullish gold over Bitcoin is if you think the internet is gonna have structural problems.
If the internet has structural problems,
we have structural problems.
At this point, I mean, we are so plugged in. Electrical grid goes down, internet goes down. What are you going to do with your freaking gold? I'd rather have weapons than gold at that point.
Buy guns.
Okay, so that's a little update for you. And our friends over at Wells Fargo, David, they're getting in on this Bitcoin action.
They're the best people
Merrill Lynch,
over there.
Wells Fargo. My personal bank, by the way, I've banked at Wells Fargo since I was a kid.
Yep.
It was my first savings account.
It was my first bank.
Really? And it still is. It's funny how I just haven't changed banks. It's always been my.
Why would I do that?
I just use it a lot less.
They are all equally shit.
I use it a lot less because I am banking less, bank less.
Yeah.
Let's talk about ETH. Enough about Bitcoin. Bitcoin.
Wait, did you say why we're talking about Wells Fargo?
I think I did. They're approving multiple Bitcoin ETFs.
Yes.
So
yes, Merrill Lynch, Wells Fargo approving multiple Bitcoin ETFs in their wealth management clients.
Yeah.
Which have trillions of dollars in assets, and these are just some of the many banks that are going to be doing this.
Yeah, because banks have wealth managers on staff. Yep. Do you know they'll give you a call and they'll just be like, "Hey, can we help you invest your money? I see you have a lot of money in your savings account or your checking account." And they're like, "Can we help you?"
They don't call. I don't get those calls.
Well, maybe I'll send some Wells Fargo wealth managers your way, give you some advice, David. What are we at on the ETH price this week?
ETH price, extremely healthy performance this week. The ETH chart is just a straight linear line.
this is so weird to see.
It
look
is
at this.
The straightest, most linear line I have
looks
ever
artificial.
Seen. Yeah, it looks
this is
oddly
being manipulated.
Artificial. Yeah, can you hit the 1 day candles? We're looking at 4 hour candles. It goes back 1 month. Hit 1 day candles. How long is that a line for?
That's beautiful.
Is a line from October.
The traders call that the stairway to heaven.
That is climbing a wall of worry. That's what that looks like to me. Yeah. Okay. From October until February, we were at 1 degree, one Y equals MX plus B line degree. And now
good algebra.
Yeah, you like that one? Yeah. From February, we're on a much more vertical line.
Okay.
We started the week $3,863. We started the week $3,430, up $420. Nice. To $3,863, up 12%. So
another double digit.
ETH actually gained 4% versus Bitcoin on the week, even when Bitcoin had $100 million of inflows just yesterday.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Is this a quote unquote alt season? I don't consider Ether.
If you go
alt,
look
the
down
way,
the market cap sack, it is absolutely alt season. Have you seen the absolute shit coins that crypto Twitter is peddling
I don't know
now?
What that is, that alt season? That's something. That's narrative season for sure. Whatever the
you're kind of off of Twitter. You haven't even seen some of the degenerate 2024 election tokens that are like pumping right now.
I've heard about them. I saw CoinGecko added a category called political. And
yeah,
it's
political
just,
meme coins.
It's like Trump coin, and there's like four or five others. And I was that's an area I'm not even touching.
I don't even know how to pronounce it. Like the Biden one is like Job Boden or something like this. And like Trump has equally like misspelled and odd and weird. They're on Solana, and Solana is actually having a fantastic price action week this week too.
Did you read Travis Kling's tweets? He's just like, the reason for this is a financial nihilism. That's a Dimitri Kofinas take too.
100% is financial nihilism. Meme coins are the most financially nihilist like financial assets I can imagine, which is why they have so much product market fit with crypto.
The comment is basically because millennials, like specifically younger millennials and Gen Z, can't afford houses. And so what do? They just gamble it.
It is funny. And I will say like this, when you give...
It's GameStop stuff.
When you give the people the power to produce financial assets permissionlessly... Like what's the first thing that we did on the internet? Cat pictures. Now we have dog coins, but now people are like, hey, I can make a meme coin about anything. Jacob from Zora had a really good tweet that I liked, which is he said, in the future, meme coins will just be memes. This is just, there's just memes, but now they just have a chart with them and you can make or lose money on them.
Buyer beware is all I got to say, but it is kind of entertaining. Let's put the ETH number in perspective compared to Bitcoin. So last time Bitcoin was trading at this level, so, you know, 65K and above, ETH was trading at 4,878. There's a lesson in there, says croissant.eth. Right. What do you think the lesson is?
The lesson is that this is just where we are in the market cycle. First Bitcoin pumps, then ETH pumps, and everything else pumps.
So we're implying ETH has some catch up to do, and it will do that catch up.
Well, it caught up by 4% this week as we approach the ETH ETF, which despite what some of the content further on in this weekly rollup will say, is definitely coming.
Let's get to that content. Yeah. Why spoil it? Okay, so the big question mark, I think, the thing that would send, I expect, ETH to beyond all-time highs, I don't know, to the moon, to somewhere else, to somewhere we haven't seen before.
The giga moon,
yeah. it's the Ethereum ETF, all right? So the question is, when's it coming? The two people I know who probably know the best, have the best estimates on this, are Eric Balchunas and James Seifert. And by the way, we have invited them on the podcast. They're putting out new estimates. When they do, we're going to have them on the podcast and give you the download. But the tweet I have on the screen is a quote tweet quoting Jake Chervinsky. Jake Chervinsky says, I am a lot less confident about ETH ETF approval this year than many of you are. The reason, the SEC got a ton of political blowback for approving Bitcoin ETFs, even though the court basically forced it to. Now, animal spirits are in control of the market, and an ETH ETF would only add to that. So the comment is basically, Gary Gensler took it, you know, politically to the gut because he approved this. The anti-crypto army did not like this.
In some circles, not
in our circles.
Okay.
In some circles.
Maybe Jake knows more about this. I do not see the political blowback for approving the Bitcoin ETFs. I think like Elizabeth Warren made some comments, a few other people made some comments, but I didn't see any of that.
But that's Gary's circle. That's Gary's network. You know how we were talking about in your network, you probably don't know anyone who would buy gold. In Gary's network, I mean, things are a lot different with the people Gary hangs out with and people that put Gary in power, right? So that's Jake's. And political punch to the gut for Gary, he's not going to do it. And now that the market is pumping, the SEC probably doesn't want to add to this. And let's recall...
Is that a reason for denying or delaying
an ETF? None of it's just been a valid reason. It's however Gary feels. Because remember, he's the third vote.
But it's not however Gary feels. It's who's going to sue him if he's being arbitrary and capricious.
True. True. And that's kind of maybe the counter to this, right?
Yes.
Is somebody's going to sue him. It forced his hand the same way they forced the hand of Bitcoin. But I don't know. I mean...
I think he's got one shot of delaying it in May, and then he basically has to approve it by November, which is the latest deadline before shit really hits the fan, before the SEC gets sued. Like, okay. It's the same logic as the Bitcoin ETF.
So there's two layers to this about our general excitement about the Ethereum ETF, right? Is the question of, will it happen? Yes, no. And that's some, you know, probability. And by the way, Eric Balchunas and James Seifert said last time they put estimates out, it was greater than 50% that it would happen in 2024. I don't know what the revised estimates are.
The last numbers I heard was 60% in May, 90+% by November.
Sure. Okay. So that's that's layer one of the analysis, David, because layer two is, when it comes out, will it matter? Right? It mattered in a massive way for Bitcoin, obviously. The inflows were beyond what anyone expected. But why does that necessarily apply to Ethereum? And for you and
will
I,
ETH
we're
get
like,
the same inflows that everyone else.
Yeah, Eric Balchunas again. He says this is like, he's talking about the Ethereum ETF. If it happens, it's like the opening act coming on after the headliner. Using Gen Z bands, it's like Sister Hazel trying to follow Nirvana. So this is basically like you know, the opener act. We already had the kind of the Bitcoin is the rock star. And he justifies that by basically saying, like, look at ETH futures. ETH futures are paltry right now in terms of demand. And so he's saying it might not matter. It'd just be like a fart in the wind. No one cares about this.
Okay. The comparison of Bitcoin futures to ETH futures, I think, makes sense. But it would have to be Bitcoin futures pre-Bitcoin ETF. That's not what Sandy Call said. Sandy Call said is that the ETH ETF is going to be interesting to investors because it is a tech platform play, and that is what people like. ETH is a little bit more hard to understand. It has like dollar cost flows, which like Wall Street needs to like wrap their head around. But also at the same time, ETH has 1/3 the market cap of Bitcoin. So like maybe we have 1/3 of the demand that Bitcoin has, but we have 3 times the sensitivity to price movements that Bitcoin does because we're 1/3 as Ethereum, are 1/3 the size.
I just think for this part of the analysis, though, this is Balchunas's take, and he does have a data point, which is ETH futures. And fair enough, they have it. Like, so I kind of factor that in. However, I will say, I think that people who are bullish Ethereum are going to be bullish demand for the Ethereum ETF. And if you're not bullish Ethereum, you're more bullish Bitcoin, then you're kind of like bullish Bitcoin ETF. I remember when the Bitcoin ETF launched, a lot of people said there will be no demand. And these are generally people who are not like in the category of being bullish you know, Bitcoin. So, you know, we'll have to see, I guess. But it's an interesting discussion. It doesn't dissuade me from being excited about this. I'll say that, but maybe give some pause for thought. ETH Bitcoin ratio, David, what are we at on the week?
Yeah, we're up on the week 0.0573 up on the week.
How about the crypto market cap?
Oh yeah, God, crypto is getting crazy. $2.7 trillion. We are getting a lot amount of total crypto market cap increase because of the number of degenerate shitcoins, excuse my language, that are the long tail of crypto is getting a pump from the fat tail. This is the way that it always plays out. Bitcoin loads up its jet fuel and with all of the ETF flows, and then people who want to go risk on get bumped out of Bitcoin and they start looking downtail. And now we have like we'll talk about the movers of the week. Movers of the week, where are they? Pepe, Floki, Shiba Inu, Dog with Hat.
Quality.
If you were in any of these, congratulations! You had a fantastic week.
Like also 100% triple digit up.
We're
excited about our double digit up with Bitcoin and ETH, and this is triple digit up.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, 138% on Shiba Inu.
I mean, the question is retail back? I think you got a clip that you want to play us. But before we get to that, let's talk about layer twos as well, yep. which are majorly up on the week. And of course, yep. our layer two update is always wow. brought to you by Mantle, which is a new and upcoming
also up on the week yeah.
that we enjoy uh-huh. very much. So tell me about this. Look at this, David. That is
added like $8 billion, $7 billion in the last 7 days, $37 billion total value locked in layer twos. We have a brand new layer two blasting onto the scene. It's called Blast. Number three roll up by TVL, $2.75 billion on day one. You got to like tip your hat to the player of the game, Pac-Man. We're going to get him on the show sometime soon.
Is interesting. The reason I love looking at Blast on layer 2B, mm-hmm. and it's almost a $3 billion as well, is because it shows you the stage, like the, mm-hmm. the security stage and the decentralization. It is stage zero. In the same way OP mainnet is. But the annotation on layer 2 beat is it's full training wheels, and there's no available right. node software that can reconstruct the state from L2 data, L1 data. Hence, there is no way to verify that this system is a roll-up. So not quite as strong.
There's no exit hatch.
There's no exit hatch that has yeah. been verified right now. So
I mean, like the whole strategy with Blast was like, go to market, get TVL. Go to market, get TVL. Get users, get projects, go to market, get TVL. And they executed on that part of the roadmap. Like honestly, study it. It was immaculate. They got $2.75 billion on day one. Insane.
Did they cut corners, though? Is it risky?
100% they cut corners. They cut all corners possible. That's why there's $2.57 billion in there.
Yeah. And it's a fine line between, wow, that was really smart, and like, oh, you guys, like, you
yeah,
just
bad luck, bad
and,
luck, bad
yeah,
luck.
Bad luck. And so I don't know. I mean, as long as they don't get hacked, as long as nothing bad happens.
As long as they don't lose anyone's money. As long as they don't lose any of that $2.75 billion.
All right, so Blast now live. Also on the layer two side, Arbitrum transactions are going nuts. Did I see yeah. something about this?
Yeah, so go to the activity tab okay. on layer twos, because we got some nice numbers.
Arbitrum
here. Scaling
Nova.
Factor.
Is this
yes,
the one?
Arbitrum Nova. You want to know why, Ryan?
Yeah.
I was Arbitrum Nova is like the second Arbitrum chain, extremely cheap fees. Really putting in a new
because it's a Validium,
high.
Right?
It's a like Validium, yeah, off-chain data. Yeah, okay. So 40 to 50 transactions per second sustained. These are real transactions, no vote transactions, no like blah 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 transactions. Real transactions,
who's
40
doing
to 50
this?
Per
who
second.
Is this?
Over a million transactions, I think, in a very short amount of time. It's this brand new project, which is a DPIN project on Arbitrum. DPIN stands for Decentralized Physical Infrastructure Network, called Airbus. Arbus, final answer, Arbus AI. It's a DPIN project working on AI compute. It's an AI compute project. Okay. It's a goddamn AI project. Of course it is.
Of course it would be. Do you think that, by the way, I tweeted this out, and I was just like, hey, I've been worried about how much block space we're creating, uh-huh. who's going to buy it. And the comment that I added this morning was like, oh, I see who's going to buy it. It's the AIs. It's the
AIs.
Robots.
It's going to be AI.
Do you yep. think that's real? Yeah.
100%. If Bankless listeners didn't listen to our AI meme coin episode that came out earlier this week,
that was so good.
100% listen to that. Because, I mean, this is 2017 was the ICO mania, 2021 was the NFT mania, 2024 AI frenzy.
Well, let's get back to the frenzy. And David, you have a clip that you wanted us yes. to see. And this, you set this
me,
up
yeah,
for us.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah
know
let me
tee
this up.
At.
Yeah, so like, this is, I bet you like less than half of Bankless listeners will be kind of exposed to this. So just to let you know what's going on, this happened last cycle. This was also about to start happening this cycle. This is retail. This is what retail looks like. Let's go ahead and watch this TikTok video from Mr. Retail.
So y'all seen my video yesterday, right?
No,
this was at $100. It has gone up $67 in 24 hours. Actually, oh, hold on. Today's return, $64. Total return, $111. That's in 4 days. I invested in this 4 days ago, and it's... Yes! Do not believe anybody. Everybody doubted Dogecoin and thought it wasn't going to amount to anything, and now look at it. Almost 20 cents. This... 3.8 million. Get it. Get it now before it goes up more. It is constantly steadily
get
going
it now.
Up. Do not listen to these people saying it ain't going nowhere. It's going. It's happening now. $60 overnight. Thought y'all said it won't go and do nothing.
So when he says it's up $67, he put $100 in to Coinbase, bought $100 worth of SHIB. It's up $67 and he's stoked. And he's telling all of his TikTok friends, to also go buy SHIB. This is what we're up against.
Cannot go down.
This is what we're up against.
Here's the thing. I think for a lot of people, that guy sounds exactly like you and I, David, at the beginning of this episode. And that is the problem. It's hard to differentiate.
Yeah.
It's really hard for people to differentiate. So that's why you got to do your homework.
Maybe we are the same, you know? Maybe maybe we're no better. We just chill ETH and Bitcoin, but mostly ETH.
We just like to virtue signal. That's all. That's the difference here.
We like to sniff our own farts.
A couple other milestones here. Tether, over $100 billion now in Tether. So we just had the Tether CEO, Paulo, on the podcast. It was a great episode. I think we'll have Jeremy Lehr on as well. So go check out that episode, but pretty big milestone. And also this has started happening. So Coinbase is now breaking into the top 100 in the Apple App Store. And this is the first time since early 2022 that this has happened.
Because we have all these TikTokers telling people to go buy SHIB. They have to go re-download Coinbase.
Oh my God. There was a time where Coinbase would not be listing SHIB, but those are the old days, I guess.
Actually, I don't know if SHIB is on Coinbase, but it probably is.
It held like a Coinbase wallet to me. David, what do we have coming up next?
Coming up next, SEC sends a cease and desist to a crypto exchange, Shapeshift. Eric Voorhees does not blink. Meanwhile, Commissioner Hester Peirce wrote a screenplay about the utter absurdity of the matter. Big airdrop coming that Gary Gensler doesn't want you to have. The wormhole token is out, rewarding users across all these different chains. So we're going to get to all of this and more. But first, a moment to talk about some of these fantastic sponsors that make this show possible, especially Kraken, the exchange with 100% uptime this week. If you do not have an account with Kraken, consider clicking the link in the show notes if you want an exchange that doesn't go down.
Oh, wow.
If you want a crypto trading experience backed by world-class security and award-winning support teams, then head over to Kraken, one of the longest-standing and most secure crypto platforms in the world. Kraken is on a journey to build a more accessible, inclusive, and fair financial system, making it simple and secure for everyone, everywhere, to trade crypto. Kraken's intuitive trading tools are designed to grow with you, empowering you to make your first or your 100th trade in just a few clicks. And there's an award-winning client support team available 24/7 to help you along the way, along with a whole range of educational guides, articles, and videos. With products and features like Kraken Pro and Kraken NFT Marketplace and a seamless app to bring it all together, it's really the perfect place to get your complete crypto experience. So check out the simple, secure, and powerful way for everyone to trade crypto, whether you're a complete beginner or a seasoned pro. Go to kraken.com/bankless to see what crypto can be. Not investment advice, crypto trading involves risk of loss. Uniswap is revolutionizing the DeFi space, not just by enabling swaps, but by empowering you to swap smarter with a comprehensive suite of products for faster, safer, and more informed swapping. Say goodbye to pop-up wallet extensions. The Uniswap extension is coming soon, and this extension is not a pop-up. It is a sidebar in your browser that persists no matter where you are on the web. This means you can swap, sign, or send and receive crypto anytime, anywhere, without obstructing your browser window. But that's not all. The Uniswap web app now features limit orders, so you can buy and sell any token at your price on your terms without having to watch the market. And the best part, limit orders are built on Uniswap X, which means no gas fees. Also new to the web app is the data and insights pages with real-time candlestick charts, price data, transaction logs, and detailed pool data, all integrated into the Uniswap web app. All of these new releases come together to create one platform to help you swap smarter every time, no matter where you are, on web, mobile, or on the extension. Click the link in the show notes to sign up for the extension waitlist and download the mobile app. Start swapping smarter with Uniswap.
Are you launching a token? Is it already live? How are you managing the legal and tax obligations for providing token grants to your team? It's no secret that token management gets complicated. Between learning all the legal language and tax obligations in every country that your team is in, token grant management can feel like an obstacle course, but it doesn't have to. That's where Toku steps in. Toku provides practical tools to handle token grants, allowing for effective oversight of token distributions and payroll tax compliance for employees, contractors, advisors, and investors. They also handle tax withholdings through their real-time tax calculations that can be done by Toku or integrated into any payroll EOR providers in any jurisdiction. Toku is a trusted provider of Protocol Labs, DYDX Foundation, Mina Protocol, and many more. Get started for free and make token compensation simple at toku.com/bankless.
Another week, David, more SEC shenanigans, a couple
My
things
favorite.
We need to get into. All right, so you know Shapeshift, which was Eric Voorhees' exchange. Mostly now a decentralized exchange, by the way, but there was a point in time where there was some counterparty risk with Shapeshift. Anyway, the SEC filed a cease and desist against Shapeshift, basically cease and desist serving U.S. customers. And it alleged that Shapeshift was operating in 2021 as an unregistered dealer for cryptocurrencies that were securities. And they further said that they would accept a settlement offered by Shapeshift for a $275K fine. So
$275,000 extortion bribe.
Yeah, basically.
To go away.
Good thing it's just, it's in fiat, you know, so it's not that much money. And this is
one Bitcoin.
Soon. Yeah, this is pretty similar to the accusation that the SEC is, of course, brought against other exchanges like Coinbase, Kraken, and in Binance. It's all part of the same campaign here. Here's a comment from Eric Voorhees. What does he say?
Eric Voorhees says, a quote, "The commission's order, however, fails to identify which crypto assets were investment contracts and provides no explanation for its conclusion." We've seen this before. In sum, Shapeshift is in trouble because the commission, nearly 10 years after the Shapeshift's platform started trading and more than 3 years after it changed its business model to be a DAO, now contends that some unidentified number of the 79 crypto assets it traded between 2014 and 2021 were investment contracts without explaining why. Notably, the commission does not allege any harm. Shapeshift and its customers voluntarily transacted, and now the order nowhere alleges that Shapeshift defrauded its customers. The standards are so opaque and arbitrary that the commission itself is unwilling to stand by its own analysis. The environment we have created for the crypto asset markets, especially as it relates to secondary trading, is untenable. Cases like this do not protect investors. They intimidate innovators and entrepreneurs. We respectfully dissent. This has notes of Hester Peirce all over it.
Okay, so this wasn't Eric Voorhees saying this. This was Eric Voorhees tweeting a quote.
Tweeting a quote, yeah.
Of a dissent from Hester Peirce about this action. Commissioner Hester Peirce. And who's the other commissioner?
Mark Yuda.
Mark Yuda. So did you, by the way, did you read this dissent, the full dissent?
I saw the parts that got circulated on Twitter, which I think you're about to lay up.
This was like, so...
Are we about to do this?
I was going through this story, and I saw this in the middle of Hester Peirce's dissent. She actually wrote a screenplay, David. Okay? Right. And she teased it up. Do you want to actually do this screenplay?
Okay, who's going to be who?
Okay, I'll be the SEC. You be Shapeshift.
Okay,
so this is what Hester Peirce wrote. She said, one can imagine the dialogue for that scene in a future episode, the just come in and register episode. So this is a future Shapeshift. I'll be the SEC. David,
you
will
are
be,
Gary Gensler.
Do
your best, Gary Gensler. I'm very
Voorhees. I don't have a Gary Gensler. I don't know what. I'll try. Go for it.
All right. You're first. Oh, wait, no, I'm first. Okay, cut that out. Hello, I'm Eric Voorhees, and I would like to register as a dealer.
Why?
Because I think some of the assets I plan to deal with might be deemed at some point by the SEC to be securities.
Oh, which ones?
I'm not sure, because I can't really understand which criteria you use to decide whether a token offering is a securities transaction, and if it is, whether the token that was the subject matter of the investment contract remains a security in the secondary market transactions.
Well, if you don't know whether you're dealing in securities, you can't register. And by the way, if some of the assets you're dealing in are securities, you also can't register.
So can you help us think through which of the assets are securities?
No. We suggest to read the 2017 DAO report, and it will all be clear to you. You can also look at our enforcement actions if you want.
I've read it. I've read about your enforcement actions. I have further questions.
Hire a lawyer.
I did, and my lawyers have further questions.
Sorry, we can't help any more than we already have. We don't give legal advice here. That was Hester Peirce's screenplay.
Oh my God, give her the Emmy. Give her the Emmy. Well done, Hester.
You met Hester Peirce recently, didn't you?
Yeah, she was at East Denver.
This is David Hoffman and Commissioner Hester Peirce. She actually
on
comes
the ground,
to the conference.
Boots on the ground, in the trenches, with the crypto retail, all the people going, the 20,000 innovators and investors and fanatics that are at the going to East Denver. And she was there with us.
You know, she has run out of Fs, hasn't she? She's just like writing screenplays now in the dissent. I love that this is published on the SEC website. It's sec.gov. One thing to clarify about this whole Shapeshift thing is, even though there's a cease and desist out there, it actually can't be shut down because right. now Shapeshift does not take custody of anyone. They're not a counterparty, right? It's basically like a DEX aggregator. They use like ThorChain and that sort of thing. And
yeah, if you want to go cross-chain, it's basically a front end and obfuscation abstraction layer for ThorChain. And if you're staying in Ethereum, then just DEX aggregators on Ethereum. And so it's not
it's now a DAO too, right?
This is the cool thing, Shapeshift is being sued from the periods of like 2017 to 2021, but not during the periods of when it just turned itself into a DAO, which is interesting.
Well, that court case is coming, David. Who knows what that'll be? How is he going to round up all the DAO participants? Could be interesting. There's also on SEC news. Do you know we were talking last week about Kraken versus the SEC, and they revealed some additional information, and they basically filed for the SEC to drop all charges. Well, apparently, I guess somewhat related to this, but kind of different. There are now 8 U.S. attorney generals, state attorney generals, I should say, from Montana, Arkansas, Iowa, Mississippi, Nebraska, Ohio, South Dakota, and Texas. They have come out with an amicus brief. Okay, and this is like legal speak for basically a legal position criticizing, highly critical of the SEC's stance on crypto. I'm not sure if they directly mention Kraken, but this is some of the subtext here. They call what the SEC is doing with respect to crypto a regulatory power grab. And they say that the SEC has appointed itself crypto regulator, and further, that the SEC puts consumers at risk. These are attorneys general of eight U.S. of states, right? And they are going to a federal agency and just being basically like, you have no power here. You actually can't do what you're trying to do to the crypto industry. We don't want it. You're actually putting the citizens of our states at risk through your actions. So, like, knock it off.
If you are a citizen of Montana, Arkansas, Iowa, Mississippi, Nebraska, Ohio, South Dakota, or Texas, congrats. Your attorney general is based. We got an airdrop to talk about, Ryan. Wormhole just announced their token W. Speaking of based, that is a based ticker handle.
It's just W?
Just W. Yeah. 10 billion tokens, initial circulating supply of 1.8 billion. 82% of W are being initially locked, and such tokens will unlock over the course of 4 years. It's an ERC-20 token on Ethereum.
Tell them what Wormhole is.
Oh, yeah. Wormhole is a bridge. It's a bridge. If the name didn't imply that. Yeah, you can go and you can go across Ethereum, Solana, Arbitrum, Optimism. Base is where the token will initially be. You can also go across other layer ones as well. 6.17% of the tokens, so 617 million tokens, are being dropped to almost 400,000 wallets. Pretty big airdrop, very hyped up airdrop. There, you can check eligibility at airdrop.wormhole.com or at Bankless.
No, you can't. Not available if you're in the U.S. We're sorry to inform you that the site is not available.
Well,
in
if you're
your
in the U.S.,
region.
Use the Bankless airdrop claimable.
No, it'll just bounce you to this. It'll bounce you to this.
Shit. All right. Well, we'll get the data integrated natively. When is claiming not announced yet? So we do not know. The snapshot was taken on February 6th. But this token is coming. It's going to be interesting to see the valuation that this lands at. I mean, it's interesting to see all of the tokens that are being airdropped. Starknet is coming in at like $20 billion right now. I mean, we're just getting... The crypto industry is just getting hammered by
$20 billion airdrops.
It's so
much free money.
I'm
so exhausted by all of this free money. And honestly, I sort of am. Like, this is I will plus one what you were just saying about the Bankless Claimables app, because if you want to keep tabs on what's dropping and whether your address is eligible or not, all you have to do is go to bankless.com/claimables, type your addresses, copy paste, whatever, put an ENS in, add your addresses to this tool, and it will for free, this is a public service, it will for free tell you, alert you, send you an email when there is a claimable opportunity. Now, you got to watch out for third party phishing and scammers and that sort of thing, but if it's coming from the bankless.com website directly, then that is an official like claimable that you can go claim. It's a great way to just keep tabs on all this stuff.
Yeah, I found like two of the most recent Optimism airdrop that happened like last week on my wallets, which I would have never have seen that because I don't touch those wallets anymore.
Well, and then with Optimism too, they're just like airdrop, airdropping as they go.
Like Optimus has got his fourth airdrop.
It's like seasons, and like it's just impossible to keep up with all of it. All right, what do we got coming up next, David?
We're going to talk about the Eigenlayer milestone. We're going to explain how Michael Saylor actually has infinite money and also Permissionless 3. But first, we're going to talk to some of these fantastic sponsors that make this show possible, especially Mantle. The layer two with all of the yield. Stake your ETH with Mantle. Put it on Mantle to get your yield if you want to. Try it out. There's a link in the show notes. Let's go here for Mantle right now. Mantle, formerly known as BitDAO, is the first DAO-led Web3 ecosystem, all built on top of Mantle's first core product, the Mantle Network, a brand new high-performance Ethereum layer two built using the OP stack, but uses Eigenlayer's data availability solution instead of the expensive Ethereum layer one. Not only does this reduce Mantle Network's gas fees by 80%, but it also reduces gas fee volatility, providing a more stable foundation for Mantle's applications. The Mantle Treasury is one of the biggest DAO-owned treasuries, which is seeding an ecosystem of projects from all around the Web3 space for Mantle. Mantle already has sub-communities from around Web3 onboarded, like Game7 for Web3 gaming, and Bybit for TVL and Liquidity and OnRamps. So if you want to build on the Mantle network, Mantle is offering a grants program that provides milestone-based funding to promising projects that help expand, secure, and decentralize Mantle. If you want to get started working with the first DAO-led layer 2 ecosystem, check out Mantle at mantle.xyz and follow them on Twitter at 0xmantle. Arbitrum is the leading Ethereum scaling solution that is home to hundreds of decentralized applications. Arbitrum's technology allows you to interact with Ethereum at scale with low fees and faster transactions. Arbitrum has the leading DeFi ecosystem, strong infrastructure options, flourishing NFTs, and is quickly becoming the Web3 gaming hub. Explore the ecosystem at portal.arbitrum.io. Are you looking to permissionlessly launch your own Arbitrum Orbit chain? Arbitrum Orbit allows anyone to utilize Arbitrum's secure scaling technology to build your own Orbit chain, giving you access to interoperable, customizable permissions with dedicated throughput. Whether you are a developer, an enterprise, or a user, Arbitrum Orbit lets you take your project to new heights. All of these technologies leverage the security and decentralization of Ethereum. Experience Web3 development the way it was always meant to be: secure, fast, cheap, and friction-free. Visit arbitrum.io and get your journey started in one of the largest Ethereum communities.
Celo is the mobile-first, EVM-compatible, carbon-negative blockchain built for the real world. Driving real-world use cases like mobile payments and mobile DeFi, and with Opera MiniPay as one of the fastest-growing Web3 wallets, Celo is seeing a meteoric rise with over 300 million transactions and 1.5 million monthly active addresses. And now, Celo is looking to come home to Ethereum as a layer 2. Optimism, Polygon, Matter Labs, and Arbitrum have all thrown their hats in the ring for the Celo layer 2 to build upon their stacks. Why the competition? The Celo Layer 2 will bring huge advantages like a decentralized sequencer, off-chain data availability secured by Ethereum validators, and one-block finality. What does that all mean for you? With Celo Layer 2, gas fees will stay low, and you can even pay for gas natively using ERC20 tokens, sending crypto to phone numbers across wallets using Social Connect. But Celo is a community-governed protocol. This means that Celo needs you to weigh in and make your voice heard. Join the conversation in the Celo forums, follow Celo on Twitter, and visit celo.org to shape the future of Ethereum.
Eigenlayer passes $10 billion, completing the second of my five predictions for 2024. Off to a great start. One of those predictions is we're going to burn 1 million ETH, and we are behind on that. But the trend rate, because gas fees are super high right now, is super, super good. That's basically the news. $10 billion.
David, you have 10 months to hit all your predictions. You don't need to rush it, man. You already got two down. I think you're making great progress.
I got nine more months.
You're making great progress. I mean, you should be
actually
happy with
I bet
this.
You one of them is actually complete. I just haven't bothered to count them, which is over 5 billion airdrop to users in 2024. If that hasn't happened by the end of Q2,
probably will.
I'll be surprised.
After Wormhole, it probably will. This is so this is if you
translate. One of my other predictions, ETH layer 2 meta shifts towards optimized virtual machines. Shout out sponsor Katezi for bringing Linux to the Ethereum layer 2 space. I'm counting that partially checked. We'll see what happens when both Eclipse and Ellipsis and Monad launch.
Yep. So this is, by the way, translating that $10 billion in Eigenlayer into ETH terms. That's 3 billion ETH. So another over 3 million
ETH.
Excuse me. 3 million ETH.
No one
has
3 billion.
True. There's a supply cap, right? Well, congrats on your prediction, David. Do you know another general prediction that I didn't make, because I didn't make any predictions, but I'll claim this as a general Bankless prediction, is that wallets are getting a level up this year, this cycle, okay? They're in desperate need. I mean, it's still really hard to onboard your friends and family. This is a post from Coinbase. talking about the evolution of wallets. It includes this really cool demo. This is kind of like wallet as a service, but look how easy this is. In browser wallet, you just connect with a passkey on your machine, or you could use Face ID on your phone and basically just have a wallet. And this is an account abstraction wallet that Coinbase has built. They built a whole SDK on top of the Base chain, which is kind of cool. And I had a take this week about, Jesse Pollock on this. The Coinbase Smart Wallet is the most important new product since Base and the most consequential consumer wallet launch in the last 5 years. It's the last piece to bring billions of people on chain because it just works. See for yourself and you can go test this. We'll include a link in the show notes. It's super easy to use this wallet. And this is like innovation that layer twos can do that Ethereum mainnet is just too slow to do, like adding account abstraction type features, right? That make wallets super easy. And it brings me to kind of this take. I really want to see layer two ecosystems that own the full stack for user experience, right?
Full user experience.
Yeah. And so I'm talking own the wallet UX, own the onboarding, own the fiat to crypto part of it. Own the economics, make it so that users don't have to think about fees at all. Make it feel like Web 2. Own the apps on top. So launch with some kind of killer apps, a fully integrated UX, and make it max consumer friendly. And I got to say, I think that's what Base is actually trying to pull off with some of these innovations on the Base chain.
Do you have Coinbase Wallet on your phone?
I do, yeah.
Do you have notifications turned on?
No.
Okay, you should, because every once in a while, the Coinbase wallet will send you notifications saying, hey, do you want to mint this NFT? And it's usually like a Coinbase NFT. Like the last time I saw this, it was the Mint a Penny, and then it was also the Coinbase stock earnings. And I am, anytime Coinbase app shows up, and it's always on Base, so the fees are like zero. And so anytime I get prompted by the Coinbase app to go like mint something or do something on Base, I go do it. You want to know why?
Why?
Because Base is going to have an airdrop. I don't know this. I have zero alpha. I'm completely speculating. I am just shooting from the hip here. But here's how I think this goes.
Wait. They already have a coin. It's a publicly traded company. It's Coin. You think they're going to do another coin?
Coinbase has an asset. Base doesn't have an asset. And in this world, we like to tokenize stuff. My idea. So Circle and Coinbase used to have this like partnership, right? But then they were like, let's just make this simple. Coinbase is just going to own 25% of Circle, and then we're just going to go off and be our separate companies. And that's the alignment there. I think the same thing is going to happen with Base. Base spins out. It's its own separate Base LLC. CEO Jesse Pollock. Maybe it gets incorporated somewhere else.
Could it be like the Base Foundation, basically?
Base Foundation, yeah.
Base Labs, something like this.
Yeah, and then as soon as it is out from under the large, just gargantuan that is a publicly traded company, Base Token.
Wow.
Base Token.
Interesting. Yeah. Not alpha, just David predictions. There.
I'm speculating, yeah. The alpha is to turn on notifications on your Coinbase wallet and mint whatever they tell you to mint.
Yeah, well, and start doing things on layer twos in general.
Do
particularly
on base,
layer
yeah.
twos that you are bullish on. David, okay, are CryptoPunks back, man? Because there was a massive sale. Are you going to say it? You're going to tell me they never left. But it seemed like they left the building for a while. But this is
NFTs left the building, and Punks had a very respectable floor of 45 ETH at the lowest part of the bear market.
I appreciate that. This is Punk 3,100.
Yeah, that is the alien Punk with a headband.
This thing
sold for $16.3 million, 4,500 Ether, which is the second highest Punk sale of all time. $16.3 million for an alien Punk.
Are the celebrities coming back? Jay-Z, Beyonce, Taylor Swift?
I don't know if
Taylor
people know who actually bought this. We don't know who bought it. Some anonymous Punk bull.
NFTs have not yet had a bull market, like a full bull market.
Other than Pudgies, yeah.
There's some glimmers, right? Like Pudgies is kind of a standout, but it's not like last time. Do you think that's coming? Do you think that's still ahead?
I mean, in bull markets, we cycle through absolutely everything at least once. Will NFTs have an outsized focus this bull market? I don't necessarily think so.
We'll see. Maybe it's just Punks that are going to catch a bid this cycle. Yeah. David.
Well, hold on. We just had one sale.
Let's wait.
We still have a 55 ETH floor.
The JPEGs are your thing, okay?
My take is that Punks track how cool Ethereum is. So like if Ethereum is cool, then Punks will track that via the ETH price. And so I'm bullish on Punks around the ETH ETF approval.
Huh. Maybe one of the TradFi shops will buy Punk and it become cool with the ETH crowd.
Yo, Van Eck boys, let's get this done.
Get your intern on this. Michael Saylor bought
more
Bitcoin.
Get your intern a Punk. Your intern needs a Punk.
Oh my God. That would be quite the gift. He deserves it though, or she deserves
it. He does deserve
it.
He does deserve it. Also, Franklin Templeton Instagram accounts or Twitter accounts. Both of you guys, get your guys people's Punks.
Michael Saylor bought some Bitcoin this week, of course.
But I'm surprised.
Let's just zoom out and try to figure out what in the world he's doing. This is an interesting tweet that I saw this week. And it's kind of like this infinite money glitch. It's not infinite because it just scales with Bitcoin price. But, you know, Bitcoin price is doing pretty well. And we've always said on Bankless that Michael Saylor's trade purchase of Bitcoin with his like MicroStrategy kind of like equity play is going to work. Well, this is actually how this fiat money glitch works. So his playbook is, number one, if you're ever curious, he issues a convertible senior note. So he has MicroStrategy, right? And this is a publicly traded company. So he issues convertible senior notes, this debt denominated in US dollars, a currency that by design is losing value over time. It's true. By design, the dollar is going to lose money over time. And then he buys the scarcest asset in the world, which is Bitcoin. Then he waits for the US dollar to lose value against Bitcoin, leading to a surge in company valuation. Okay. And that's just step one. And then that valuation allows him to do what? Issue more convertible senior notes. And then he rinses and repeats. So as a point of reference, MicroStrategy, the stock has surged by 20% in one day alone. That was March 4th. It was just 20% in that day alone. And year to date, so in 2024, it's already up 92% and 435% over the past year. He was not drawing in these types of returns with MicroStrategy as like a business intelligence software company. It's all about the Bitcoin treasury, and that's the play he's making, and he's made it consistently. And it's almost surprising to me, David, that other corporate CEOs haven't followed him. But I think part of the reason is they don't have as much governance over their stocks as Michael Saylor basically does. Because, you know, Michael Saylor has enough voting rights in MicroStrategy to just do whatever he wants, and this is what he wants to do.
This next part of the weekly rollup brought to you by ETH Maximalism. There's a website on blockchaincenter.net/EN for English/ there is no second best, and it is, what if MicroStrategy had bought ETH instead? If he had bought ETH instead of Bitcoin, he would have $16 billion instead of the measly $12.2 billion that he has with Bitcoin. And if he had staked that ETH, he would have $17.6 billion.
Wow. He'd also have he'd have more ETH than Eigenlayer has, David. He'd have 4.5 million ETH staked, which would be pretty impressive. We don't have that kind of like Ethereum doesn't have a Michael Saylor level.
We just have 1559.
Yeah.
We've got 1559.
Just the burn, you know?
Just the burn.
That's the best.
Quiet burn, quiet burn in the background. It's easy to forget. It's very powerful. It's not in your face. All right. Permissionless 3 is back. All of our speakers that are so far on board, the 50 of them are announced October 9th through 11th in Salt Lake City, Utah. Balaji Srinivasan, Luca Nets from Pudgy Penguins, Legion from Variant, Nick White from Celestia, Zaki Manian from Cosmos, Ben Spencer from Framework, Santiago from Parify Capital, Sandy Cool from Franklin Templeton. I could go on. Matt Hogan, I think I will. Muneeb Sariram, Blau, Mike Dudas, Keone Han from Monad. God, the list of quality speakers is off the charts. And these are just the people that we've announced so far. So Permissionless 3, if you do not have your ticket, get one because it only goes up in price. And if you're a Bankless citizen, you have 30% off with your perks in your perks. Bankless.com/tools/perks to get 30% off of your ticket. Me and Mike, we've been working on like some of the, what are we going to talk about at Permissionless? And one of the reasons why I think Permissionless is one of the best conferences out there is because we have podcasters who are setting the agenda. Like if you've ever been to like a normal conference, podcasters are not setting the agenda. It's bad. We've absolutely killed it with the list this week. Bitcoin Renaissance, AI crypto, restaking are like the three big headlining themes. We also got modularity, gaming, layer twos, and NFTs. And so there's something for everyone.
It's a festival of crypto content. It's going to be a ton of fun. Salt Lake City. We started permissionless in Florida at West Palm Beach. Then we went to Austin. Now we are in Salt Lake. Why? Because we're going west.
Nice. This is the only conference I go to, crypto conference, yeah. And it is so worth it. And how could you miss a crypto conference like this in 2024? Like, mm-hmm. Don't miss the bull market.
Right.
Right.
It's going to be so good.
This is
dude.
The year. By the way, David, a big special guest. We're not ready to announce right now. Just said yes to coming main stage. To
main stage speaker
yesterday. Yeah. Really big freaking deal. I'm so excited about it. I think we're going to get some massive names attending this mm-hmm. event and speaking. It's all going to be the crypto content that that you guys love. So go check that out and get a ticket early. Get a ticket now. Yeah. David,
up only.
Well, speaking of conferences, okay, you just came back from one at ETH Denver. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was last week you were mid ETH Denver, right? You were recording mm-hmm. from Denver when we did the roll up. So rather than a meme of the week, why don't you just tell me about it? So how was ETH Denver?
ETH Denver had an outsized focus on side events. I actually only went to the main conference one time during ETH Denver. But it was as exciting and like super high vitality as ever. I did a podcast with the Alpha Alpha Boys inside of ZK Sync's podcast. I don't want to call it a podcast booth. It was more like a podcast arena. There was like 60, 70 people in the audience. It was the first ever live audience I've ever had. Me and the Alpha Alpha Boys. Really good conversation. We're going to have that out on the feed. Probably the Bankless Premium feed sometime this coming week. Really, really exciting. All of these side events, like there was an Eigenlayer side event every single day. I saw Sriram talking like 8 different times. There was a Bitcoin Renaissance day, which was just huge. Nick Carter was there. Like a lot of the Bitcoiners were there. Muneeb from Stacks was there. I hosted a modulithic debate between Muneeb from Stacks, Nick White from Celestia, Neil from Eclipse, and then this one individual, I'm forgetting the name, from Jito Labs, Zano, I think. Really, really good. So yeah, big side event focus. The Bankless meetup was phenomenal. Had like 200 people at the Bankless meetup, all drinking beer. It was really, really great. Really, really great.
So David, I don't know if you saw this tweet. This is, again, I didn't attend ETH Denver, but this was a tweet from what the Uber driver said about ETH Denver. This is Alex, the Uber driver. And I don't know if it's his first exposure to ETH Denver crowd.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But what does he say here? You should read some of this.
When I read this, I legit had a tear in my eye.
Really?
I was like, it was really, really, because I've been to ETH Denver every single time and I've seen it develop. And crypto from the outside doesn't really have like a great brand. So this is Alex, the Uber driver, who went to the R Ethereum Reddit page and dropped in a note to the Ethereum community. And so I want to read it out loud to the Ethereum community. Greetings. I'm an Uber driver in Denver. We recently held ETH Denver, a huge conference for our city, and I'd like to share my thoughts as an outsider. A passenger asked about my experience with attendees, and she found it interesting and asked me to share this on this subreddit. Firstly, as an Uber driver, I always deal with one asshole a day. I'm glad to report that I did not have a single bad experience with you nerds over the whole week. Not a single passive-aggressive remark or worse that I would normally get on the daily. Namaste. I probably drove a total of 300 different people from the conference. I'm very chatty and pretty well-versed in this space for a seeming outsider. I would say I discovered two types of attendees, career-oriented workers and crypto fanatics. Career-oriented people were interesting but shared the same skepticism that I do. They consisted of developers hoping for the best because their career rested upon it. Surprisingly, a lot of them admitted to big personal losses due to gambling behaviors. Yeah, that's part of crypto. I found it weirdly refreshing to share a somewhat embarrassing experience to a complete stranger as a warning. I got the strong impression that they saw crypto as a career path as opposed to a revolutionary technology.
Okay, the mercenary crowd.
Yeah, they're just workers, like career workers, right? Yeah. They're here for the job. Fanatics were more interesting. I expected them to share a cult-like exuberance, which they did. The difference is the following, and this is the part that I thought was really cool. I was experiencing a call to action, as with all cults, but instead I only received calls to education. I must have spoken to 200-plus crypto fanatics, but no one told me what they were working on specifically. No company or specific coin or project was shared. No one told me to buy X or invest your time in Y. The only call to action was educate yourself in the space, research your interests, think about how a blockchain could change it, Join communities, share your values, find projects that align with your beliefs. Are you all degenerates, the reincarnation of the Dalai Lama, or what? Is the question Alex, the Uber driver, says. I must admit the philosophy that was shared is refreshing, and it seemed that everyone is trying to help me in an indirect way, which I found sweet and non-condescending. I've never judged a group of people as weirdly pacifist and revolutionary at the same time, and this gives me an unreasonable level of confidence. After this experience as an outsider, I have come to the conclusion that crypto is an anti-cult, and I am in. Wish you all the best, Satoshi. Just kidding. I mean, Alex, the Uber driver. I thought this was so cool because crypto, yeah, nice. We have a terrible PR problem to the outside world. But at ETH Denver, we at least won the hearts and minds of this one individual Uber driver. And I think that that reflects very well on the people that make it throughout a bear market, who are here for the right reasons to show up in the right spot and believe in what they do. The line, I've never judged a group of people as weirdly pacifist and revolutionary at the same time. That's going to stick with me forever. I really enjoyed this piece.
Yeah, that's great. This is definitely he experienced, I think, the best of us and the best that mm-hmm. crypto has to offer. So I'm glad that our crypto conferences bring that to mm-hmm. people. And yeah, I'm glad it. That's powerful for sure. Yeah. All right. Well, you ready to end it here, David?
Let's do it. Yep.
Next week, all-time highs, shall we?
Next week, all-time highs. Yeah. It's
risk a date. Disclaimers. Got to let you know. Of course, crypto is risky. You could definitely lose what you put in. But we're headed west. This is the frontier. It's not for everyone, but we're glad you're with us on the Bankless journey. Thanks a lot.
Hello, I would like to register as a dealer.
Why?
I think some of the assets that I'm in the deal could be deemed securities by the SEC.
Which ones?
I'm not sure because I can't really understand how you decide if a token offering is a securities transaction. And if it is, if the token that was the subject of the investment contract is still a security in the secondary market.
Well, if you don't know if you're dealing in securities, you can register. And by the way, if some of what you deal with are not securities, you also can't register.
Can you help us figure out which assets are securities?
No, look at the down report, or you can also refer to our enforcement actions.
I've read it and I've read about your enforcement actions. I still have questions.
Hire a lawyer.
I did, and the lawyer has even more questions.
Sorry, we cannot help any more than we already have. We don't give legal advice. We don't give legal advice. Sorry, we cannot help any more than we already have. We don't give legal advice. No.
Security. The secondary market.